All right, time to bring in Paul White, and it is a tradition. I think, Paul, we've been on every holiday for about 17 years now, talking about baseball. He's the creator of the USA Today Baseball Weekly, one of the top baseball minds in the country, and I love having him on, Paul, and thanks for being with us on Labor Day.
Always, Marty, always. Look forward to it.
Yeah, we figured it out. I think we go back to about 2002.
Back in the Phoenix Muni Stadium in spring training that year.
And you know, it's so funny you said that because we tried to sort of recount when we first met, and it's been that long. Eric Burns was there, and the other one you mentioned was Eric Chavez, right?
No. Carlos Pena. Susan Slusser of the Chronicle and I had laughed about this for years. She was trying to interview Eric Burns, and I was trying to interview Carlos Pena at the same time, and their lockers were adjacent, and it was like being trapped in a pinball machine. And the interviews merged. They were taunting each other and laughing, and it was amazing. It was great.
And both turned out to be media stars because they're both on MLB Network.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you could tell then. if baseball didn't work out, they were going to be just fine.
You like MLB Network, by the way, Dan Plesac and
for the most part, I do. You know, and you know, I think the MLB Network at times has tried to get a little bit too TV. If they just stick to the baseball, they've got good people. Mark DeRosa, I think, does a fabulous job for them. And so once in a while, I think they try to be a little too slick for their own good. Stick to the baseball guys, and they do great.
Yeah, I think the morning show, when they've got Lauren Shahadi on, and
right.
DeRosa's been great, great personality,
yeah.
And Robert Flores, it grows on me a little bit.
Right.
Then you get Ken Rosenthal coming in. It really is a very informative show. The only thing I would say, maybe they delve a little too deeply into early morning, this is his batting stance, and, 38% curveballs.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, you know, there are still people here in Washington who say the Nationals miss Mark DeRosa.
Really?
All the way back when he was there. They haven't, until maybe this year with Gerardo Parra, they haven't had that veteran glue guy in the clubhouse to kind of keep things together. DeRosa was there that year that they won the division and they lost that heartbreaking series to the Cardinals that they really should have won. And that was sort of the beginning of they can't do it in October. And that team's been missing something. And I had some people in the organization sort of as a generalization say, yeah, we miss Mark DeRosa.
Boy, interesting. He was here in 2010 when the Giants won. He was a very big part of the clubhouse.
Yep.
In 2010. And, he would talk a little bit, Mark DeRosa, for a second here. He's been interviewed for a managerial job, so I thought he was in the mix for Texas before Woodward got it.
Right. And he's very similar, the parallel is Aaron Boone. That kind of guy, and then went into media, and a guy who wanted to learn. You know, whenever you saw Aaron Boone when he was out doing TV, he would walk up to you and he would ask you a million questions. Where have you been? Who'd you see? What do they look like? What's this guy look like? I mean, those guys want to know everything, and that's I think that's what's so impressive, and they understand players, and Boone probably should be manager of the year in the American League this year.
Boy, he's got 90 wins, I'll tell you that. I just noticed that this morning. The Yankees won their 90th game yesterday.
Yeah, and what a mess that's been. Everything's gone wrong.
90 wins, and Judge is starting to get hot, and we haven't even seen Stanton yet at all. Yeah, Yankees, we can segue into baseball a little bit here. Talk a little bit Yankees and how this playoff is going to work out. You've got Houston with the big starters, and Greinke, I'm not that convinced yet on Greinke.
Right,
I'm
me
not.
Too.
I think we mentioned that maybe you and I or Bruce and I mentioned it yesterday. But, you got Houston with the big starting pitching and Verlander, an epic game yesterday for once again. And then you get the Yankees the way they approach it. Then you get Minnesota with just the bombers. Can you bomb your way through the thing? And then you get the A's just right there. Cleveland right there. Tampa Bay right there. I think the American League is going to be interesting.
Oh, I do too. And you know, we talked a little bit about the Dodgers yesterday being vulnerable when they get to the playoffs. I think the Yankees are even more so. I mean, it's a fabulous story what they've done, but there are too many things that have to fall into place day after day after day. And maybe that works over the course of a long season. And, you know, Mike Ford can hit a pinch hit home run, and Gio Urshela can be fabulous at third base, be more offensive than you ever expected, be a piece together all the pitching, and that's a great story, and they've done a great job, but that's difficult to keep putting together in a short playoff series, because you need several of those guys to go on a tear in a short period, and they've all got to do their things, you know, and you know, we talked about the Dodgers have more talent, and they've got more options if they use the right ones, and Dave Roberts has the right guys in there at the right time. But there's a lot of vulnerabilities. The Dodgers bullpen, as we talked about, and the Yankees starting pitching. How long can you go with your starters giving you four or five innings in the postseason?
Well, especially with Houston. You know, I just happened to look at it today. Houston, it plays Milwaukee today, and Milwaukee had a couple of big wins over the Cubs to keep their hopes alive. But Garrett Cole is pitching today for Houston, Paul.
Right.
His last 16 games, he's 11-0 with a .206 earned run average, 104 innings pitched, 152 strikeouts. Now,
yes.
You bring him back after Verlander.
Then yes.
Or you get Greinke. I don't know if you put Greinke in the middle. I would never miss a start for Cole or Verlander. But that is pretty tough. That's pretty tough to beat.
And you don't have to pitch to a 2 ERA on that team, you know, to win.
That's a good point.
I mean, I know they only got two runs yesterday, you know, against Toronto, but that's just a really good offense, too. So, you know, and I think those guys know that. I think Cole's learned that in his time with Houston. He's really a driven guy, but it's not like he feels like when he was in Pittsburgh, I got to go out and hold him to one or nothing, or I don't have a chance.
Well, everything at Pittsburgh was fast and hard.
Yeah, right.
Here, whatever Houston does with the spin rates or whatever magic they do with their analytics, they've done something to this guy. And I've got to watch him pitch a whole game and just see what he's throwing. But in this era of walks, strikeouts, and home runs, he can throw the ball past you. And that's
right.
The difference.
Yeah.
That has happened for him.
Right, and that's huge. You know, it's funny. You go back years ago when Tampa Bay first started to get good in the American League East, and if you talk to guys, when Andrew Friedman was still in the organization, and then go back to Joe Maddon, all they talked about, because the American League East with the Red Sox and the Yankees at the time were the three true outcomes kind of teams, the real patient guys at the plate, and it's sort of a precursor to what we're seeing everywhere now. And they always talked about, we've got to have strikeouts, swing and miss pitchers, or we will not survive.
Boy, interesting. Paul White with us, of course. It's our holiday, and Paul with us, boy, for 15, 17 years. Every holiday we've gone through this, and this is the special one because it's the last one, and before we get the races really going. Giants and Cardinals today. And Adam Wainwright, Paul, and I talked about him earlier, 38 years old. World Series champion, traded from the Braves to the Cardinals for J.D. Drew in 2003, and of course then was a star after that. And the Cardinal team winning 17 of 23, whatever it is, they've sort of taken charge of this Central. What do you think of the Cardinals? Who are they? Because this is a team that was down and up and down and up. Who are the Cardinals?
That's a really good question. And you know, if you talk to people in St. Louis, there's a lot of differing opinions on who are the Cardinals, because John Mozeliak, the GM, was under a lot of pressure from people. Let your younger guys play. You know, guys like Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader, great young talents. And the Cardinals have been a little resistant. They've gone very slowly, easing guys like that in. Even, you know, the ins and outs of a Colton Wong, for instance. And you talk about Wainwright, and I think that's still a lot of who the Cardinals are in their front office's mind. That if you just take Wainwright's pitching, you could make an argument he shouldn't be in their rotation. They've got a lot of great young arms there. They've got Flaherty, and they got Michaelis. Dakota Hudson is a real good one. They've got great arms, but Wainwright's the leader. He's the guy in the clubhouse, and they feel it's important to have him out there. They feel, you know, Paul Goldschmidt's fit in there perfectly. Yadier Molina is obviously the man in St. Louis, and in the Cardinals front office mind, those are the guys who are going to get them through. The Wainwright's going to drag those other guys through, even if those other guys are out pitching him. And he's going to show them how. And that's who the Cardinals think they are. And it started to fall into place. You know, the younger guys are pitching great, and they're doing it, it seems, without a ton of pressure. They're not being asked to be aces. They're not being asked to be aces, but they're being aces. And I think that's really helped them. And, you know, it's like they're playing with house money. They've gone by the Cubs. You look at the rosters, you think the Cubs have got to be the better team. They've got to win this division. The pressure's on them, and it's not in the Cardinals.
Now, we're going to get four good games to take a good look at the Cardinals, starting today with Tyler Beede and Wainwright. And the bullpen of the Cardinals really has been the best in the National League. Paul, as I said, this is interesting with St. Louis. Let's just touch on them for a little bit as we do our preview of Giants and Cardinals. Cardinal bullpen is out of sight, and these are names, I tell you, because I'm not watching their games all the time. Brebbia, Gallegos, who are these people?
Yeah, they're good live arms. You know, that's the formula we've seen the last several years in a lot of places. Find those real good, hard-throwing arms, young arms, fresh arms. And as we've begun to learn, you don't know how long they're going to be good. You don't know how long they're going to be that effective. We see guys come and go. They come in, they have a year. They have two great years. Then they hit a rut. You know, are they fatigued? Are they tired? We see guys that go through that and then come back a year or so later and are sharp again. It's almost like they lost some effectiveness. They didn't pitch as much, and they were able to regroup. You know, my favorite example over his career has been Will Smith. When he go back to Milwaukee, they just beat him up when he first got there, but he was fabulous. Then he went through a rut for a while. Now he's back to being really good again. And the Cardinals have done that, and they found a closer, Carlos Martinez. That's been huge. Yeah. They've struggled with that for a few years, trying to figure out who their guy was. They went through Greg Holland and others. They took one with their great young arms, said, you know what, you're in the bullpen, and you're going to close. And it's worked.
You know, the other thing is they've got a nice middle of the order. And you start even with Wong. You go to Wong, Goldschmidt, Ozuna, and DeJong. These guys can hit the ball out of the park, and they can do damage. And you never have a breather in their lineup. Maybe you get one a little bit at the end of the lineup with Bader, but he's a great defender. And Edmund has hurt the Giants already. This is the kid from the Bay Area.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more balanced lineup than what we see most other places. We talk about, yeah, they can go deep on you, and they can do it with power, but they're one of the better teams in the league at stringing hits together. They can do that inning that just drives you crazy, where they hit five or six balls, either singles or balls in the gap, and then, you know, you're under a lot of pressure, then bang, somebody hits one out, and all of a sudden you're in deep trouble. It's a little more difficult with the Cardinal lineup to get that, first and third, nobody out, and then you strike out two guys because they're all trying to hit it out. They don't do that as much as a lot of teams do right now.
No. All right, let's take a look at some of the division races. Of course, in the West, the Dodgers are going to clinch the division within the next few days. I'd like to see them do it before the Giants get there on the weekend. One of the earliest clinchings we'll see in eons. Really, early September. But that's going to get done. The Cubs, as you say, the Cubs have got Hendricks today going against Seattle, and Seattle comes back with Justus Sheffield, who's been an interesting name that's been traded a couple of times. Then you still have the Brewers kicking around. Now, they let Jeremy Jeffress go, which is maybe the greatest example of what you were just talking about, a guy who a year ago is throwing 100. This year he's lost some velocity, and he can't get people out and strike him out as much, and he's gone. But you get Milwaukee, you get Cole and Hauser in that one. So the Central is still, I think, very fluid.
Yeah, I think what you really have, and you've got this in both leagues, you've got a real interesting Central division, potential for a race down the stretch, And the teams involved in that race are right in the middle of the wild card mix, because in both leagues, you know, the East and West are pretty much settled for division winners, and the Central is a little bit below, so that those teams are in the wild card. So yeah, you've got, you know, whoever doesn't win the Central is got to battle it out with the, at least a couple of teams from the East. The Nationals are looking a little safer now, but that's not a given yet. The Mets and Phillies are still very much involved. The Diamondbacks have made this little run. I'm not a believer, but hey, they're doing it on the field. So, you know, Milwaukee worries me because the Jeffress thing it epitomizes what they've gone through, that they're not getting what they've gotten in the last couple of years out of their bullpen. They've become very, very hesitant with Josh Hader recently. I think they felt like that all of a sudden they were starting to overuse him. So I think they're in trouble, but they came up with some great pitching in the last 2 days against the Cubs. And, you know, this is what they did last year. They ran through September with Christian Yelich just carrying them, and then they got to the playoffs.
Well, I love September for that reason, to just see which players are going to be the ones to, you know, to break loose. How about this Anthony Rendon with Washington? Now, we've conceded Yelich and Bellinger as the MVPs of the National League, and Freddie Freeman maybe in there as well. But come on, how do you overlook Anthony Rendon?
Well, that's a great point. You know, a year ago today, we were saying, well, you know, maybe Yelich, maybe Bellinger, look at some other guys, you know. And Yelich just took over, and by the end of the month, it was like, it was clear. There was no doubt. So I think what we got a chance to see happen in maybe both leagues this year in September, where is that guy going to come from, if there is one? You know, can Rendon make a run with the Nationals and have them push the Braves down the stretch? They've got 7 games with the Braves in the next week and a half. If he's their guy, all of a sudden, then you're looking and saying, oh, you know, he's changed everything. Yelich could do it again. You know, Bellinger's not going to make a difference between now and the end of the year. So if somebody carries their team through, they can steal the MVP. Now, if nobody does that, then you kind of look at the stats at the end, and maybe at that point Bellinger's clearly the guy. But he can't really defend himself, because if somebody carries his team to the playoffs, and Rendon, Freeman maybe to a certain extent, you know, but Rendon and, you know, I mean, what if Ketel Marte does it with the Diamondbacks? You know, what if he goes nuts here in September and they sneak in? That's where I think the race can change.
Well, I love it. I love that part of September. Jeff Kent, I remember in 97, was fabulous in the month of September. And that's when I really learned, when I first started this stuff, what September baseball was all about. And I learned it from Jeff Kent, how intense September can be. So we look at that. All right, so that's a little bit of the MVP thing. What about the batting title in the National League? Now, Rendon is in it. Now, I thought McNeil had this thing wrapped up from the Mets, but where are we in the batting title?
Well, you know, that's also interesting, too, because it's kind of funny. If the guys going for the batting title are in the race, I think they're better off, because they're not kind of looking around going, let's see, 4 points up, and if I skip this game, you know, they're not focused on it. There's too much else going on. And I think as long as those teams, I mean, the Nationals are certainly going to be in the race one way or the other to the end, whether it's the division or the wild card. You know, if the Mets stay in there, I think McNeil stays focused on what he's got to do to help them win. And I just think that works out better for those guys. And Rendon's got a little more support where he is in his lineup. He's got guys on ahead of him. He's got Trey Turner on, Adam Eaton on. He's got other guys in the order. They've got Zimmerman back now. They can mix and match him with Matt Adams. Soto is you know, I mean, Soto's not that far behind Rendon as far as the Nationals' pecking order. So I think Rendon has a little more protection on a team that's going for it. So he might have the edge. And again, he steals the batting title, he might steal the MVP.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a great story. It's one to follow. And you're right, 7 games between the Washington Nationals and the Atlanta Braves over the next 10 days. It starts on this Thursday. All right. Now, of course, batting title, who cares? Because,
right,
it's, you know, OPS is really what we're talking about. But still, the batting champion for me.
Yeah.
It still has a ring of, you know, who is he? All right. What about RBIs? That's still a stat that we're concerned with.
Well, again, you know, it's where are your opportunities? And I'll admit it. I can't even tell you who's leading anymore. It's terrible. I have to go look every time this comes up. I'm watching games. They're saying, oh, he's only three behind the RBI lead. And I'm like, geez, I don't even look at that stuff anymore.
You know,
and it's really terrible. You know, it's like, you're right. I'm looking at OPS and I'm looking at OPS plus and I'm trying, you know, I do things like, I know when I'd vote for MVPs in the past, I would, take whatever stat you want and say, what portion of his team's whatever, whether it's RBIs, whether it's OPS, whether it's war, what portion does this guy provide? Remember that great debate, the Trout Cabrera year? Cabrera won the Triple Crown,
yeah.
And the analytics folks said, no, Trout's better. Well, do you know that year, Cabrera had a higher percentage of the Tigers' overall war, the ultimate stat of the analysts, than Trout did of the Angels?
I love it. I mean,
you know, and right. I was like, wait a minute, you know, maybe he is. Because he did more for his team.
But
I remember
that's the argument. See, this is what we like about baseball, is that
remember,
it gives us a whole new layer of arguments. That's what it's all about.
I remember this goes back when we were talking about getting together the first time. I remember having a long discussion with Billy Bean about that, and I think I had written something about, to me, the measure of MVP is what percentage of whatever stat you want this guy provides on your team, in the context of your team. Sort of a how much different would they be without him? And I remember Billy saying the same thing. He said, I love that concept. We can argue about what stat you want to use, but the concept works.
Well, of course, when they go for contracts, the old story, you know, Ralph Kiner went into Branch Rickey and said he wanted a raise, and Branch Rickey said, you know something? We can win 50 with you or without you. And that was the end of Ralph Kiner. That was it. But RBIs, Freddie Freeman 114, Rendon 111, Josh Bell 110, Escobar, how about that, of Arizona 109,
yeah, that's
Arenado
amazing.
105, Bellinger 102, and Pete Alonso 102. So you're right. And maybe Freeman and Rendon have a little bit of an advantage because they're going to be, and maybe Escobar.
Well, then
that'll
comes
be
down,
interesting to see who wins that.
It comes down to Trey Turner versus Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, who gets on?
Who's on base? Who can get driven in?
Yeah, one last thing for Paul. Just I enjoy talking about this aspect of it, but Rendon 337, Brian Reynolds 335, the former Giant who they traded for McCutchen 335, Yelich.
And he has, Brian Reynolds has changed the Rookie of the Year race.
Amazing.
When Tatis went down, everybody said, well, Alonso's got it. Well, you start putting the stats up side by side, Alonso and Reynolds, it's getting pretty interesting. You know, I'd still vote for Alonso today, but not by the margin I would have 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago.
Well, one last thing is we're going to wrap it up. Boy, this has been interesting. We got Cardinals and Giants coming up. But you look at slugging percentage, Yelich, 670, Bellinger, 653, Rendon, 639, Alonso, 589, Freeman, 580, Blackman, 580. I mean, you go down the list, it just goes on forever. And those are numbers, those are Ted Williams kind of numbers.
Exactly. And, you know, again, the way the game has changed.
Yeah, boy, amazing. Hey, great to have you on. Enjoy Labor Day, and we'll talk maybe next weekend. Mets, and not the Mets, but the Nats and the Braves. And that's going to be a good series. So have a great day, and I appreciate you being on, Paul.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
All right. Anytime, Marty. That is Paul White.